Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Good day.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to survive the inevitable economic downturn. Can you make this show fun, Jill?
You know, I would just like to point out that just once again, like every show, I'm here on time, happy, with bells on.
God.
Actually, today I was on time.
This is the first time you've been on time ever.
Well, wait a minute.
Actually.
For you, on time is early. So that means I was early. So it's only taken me how many years to figure that out about you?
Before we get into this, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Alan asked, I've got a seller who's skeptical about cashier's checks and wants to know what kind of workarounds aren't a lot of trouble, especially since it's a $2,100 deal.
This is for you. What do you think about that? This has happened to me. This is a not so infrequent. This is a very good question, by the way. And not a very infrequent problem.
I don't understand why people are not comfortable with cashier's checks.
So for the record, cashier's checks are like money, by the way.
Exactly.
Like green money.
Exactly.
It gets pulled out of your account when you get it.
Yeah.
And by the way, it says right on there, it's only valid for 90 days and then it's not, but that's a bunch of malarkey.
Well, you know what,
I've deposited cashier's checks, like big ones. Like 3 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I recently had a check that didn't go through, but we won't go there. But it was not a cashier's check, though. That's
really
why. Yeah, it's okay. It was $100. I could care less. But with the cashier's check.
It's so good that I don't know about
stuff. Exactly. This is to me is kind of weird. Does a guy want a money order? I mean, what does a guy want?
Probably.
I mean, you could almost do green cash. I just am not comfortable sending that in the mail because you're not. Because let me back up. How the transaction is usually played out is the person, the seller, is standing there with the notary and the deed, and the seller is agreeing to sign the deed right then and there in front of the notary for the transfer of the property. And at the same time, the notary's handing the seller a cashier's check.
The buyer.
Yeah. Selling the seller. I'm telling you, it's a seller. So he's buying it.
Oh.
So that's it.
Wow.
So,
I see.
I mean, you know what? Here's a couple things. I mean, I would say, okay, what would make you happy? Number one, figure it out. I'm not real comfortable about doing a wire transfer ahead of time, you know, without having the deed.
Yeah.
So, you know, Alan, if this person is going to be really, really picky and they're not comfortable with your cashier's check or your money order, you know, and they don't have a way to take credit cards. I don't know if they want to do a PayPal thing. I don't know.
I'll tell you what Jill would really do if this happened today, because I've overheard this. She would sell them the fact that a cashier's check is okay.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't do a workaround. She would sit there until they said yes and talk to them and tell them research it. It's as good as cash.
It is.
And that's really the answer.
It's safer because it's got their name on it.
Yes.
It's safer for me and safer for them because it gets, you know, it's got their name on it. And you know what? If they
also,
really push.
You can also almost guess the age of this person.
Right. Well, here's my other thought. At some point, you have to say, just never mind. You know what I mean? Look, it's, you know, I'm okay, Alan, saying, look, this is, if you're not happy with this, I was happy to buy your property. You know, I've offered 6 different ways to pay for it. None of them meet your criteria. I guess you don't want to sell.
You know what you could do, too, is meet the notary. have the meeting at the bank and deposit the cashier's check because the funds will be available that minute.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And so you can look at the bank, you can look at your bank balance. The guy can look at his bank balance and say, okay, I have the money. I'm signing it.
And now I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, oh, good idea, Jack. Thank you.
I mean, that's what my point is. Sell them on the fact that a cashier's check's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't use another financial instrument.
Got it.
I would just make that work.
Right.
hey, nice work by buying a property for $2,100,
exactly.
By the way.
Exactly.
That's what this is really about.
Totally.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how to survive the inevitable economic downturn. So while the title of this thing seems a little bit negative, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses.
No, it's just...
It's a good topic to talk about because it's going to happen. Some of the younger people out there, some of our younger members just think that this thing, the last financial downturn is over and it's never going to happen again. The fact is, this is a cycle. You know, it's a 10 to 14 year cycle for a real estate downturn. The one that we had that most recently, like, I guess 2010-ish, 10 to 14, was the worst one in the history of this country. Arguably the worst one against maybe 1929. So, is it going to be that bad again? No, I really don't think so. But, in fact, in our lifetime, it's probably not going to be that bad again. But it is going to turn down significantly. We are going to have an economic downturn. So, the two things you want to do is realize that it is inevitable and just accept it. However, you need to do that with yourself in front of the mirror. And the second one is plan for it.
Right.
And then implement your plan when it happens.
Exactly.
I guess that's three things, but really two things. Accept it and
be ready.
Put a plan together. Yeah.
Exactly. So, there's a lot of things you can count on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you can count on Jill not being on time to record the shows. You can bank
Jack,
now.
That's not true. No.
To your credit, you were on
that
time.
That is not today. True. That is really not true.
This is show number 485.
You know, in my defense, our schedule gets turned around a bit, like even today. Our show. So in my defense, it's not like it's 100% consistent.
What
so
happened today?
We got moved up an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. So I did really well. No, but it's like, why do you have, hold on a moment.
The real reason that Jill was on time today is because we worked out together this morning. We exercised together.
Yes, we did. We're going to call it that.
We can call it that.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
So here's what I was talking about. Okay, back to the show.
Children listen to this.
Oh my gosh. That's why it's in code. Okay. It's like car insurance. You have to be ready for this stuff. Like a prenup. You got to be ready. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why this topic made me think about being ready, and that's where I went with it. Like some things you just kind of, they just can happen. You got to be careful. I'm sorry. It's really bad right now. All right, go ahead.
So here's the thing. We've talked about this in the past on the show. There's several things that you can, that are good signs, that they're good early indicators that stuff's going to happen. It's that the economic downturn is going to happen. Number one, land follows houses and commercial real estate. So houses are always the first one to go for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, commercial too. Commercial and houses are, you know, you can arguably, people can argue about which one's first, but when people stop building houses, all right, when somebody subdivides files with the county to do a large subdivision to build houses, they file for what's called entitlements. And you can go to the bank on watching these entitlements. Right now they're going up and up and up. People are building and buying houses. At some point, they will hit the top and go down and start to go down. Like my old football coach used to say, tomorrow when you get back here, and you're going to either be better or you're going to be worse than you are today, but you can't stay the same. That always stuck with me. I've said it in the distant past.
I know that. Where are you today? Are you better or worse? What? Can you answer the question for us, Jack? I'd really like to know.
I am more wealthy than I was yesterday, and I feel a lot physically better, actually, than I did yesterday.
Got it.
For a bunch of reasons.
You look good. All right, well,
I put Jill's jeans on accident.
Oh,
this
my
morning.
Please do not share the outcome of that. Leave that alone. No, but I have a question. I'm on the show topic. I'm trying to keep us on topic here. I used to pay attention to interest rates and I stopped. How much attention do you pay to interest rates, Jeff?
Zero.
Okay, thank you. We're on the same page on that.
A lot of years ago, you could really, it was a big deal.
Right.
That would be a real telltale economic indicator. Since the downturn, interest rates have been zero.
Isn't that funny? I remember watching, not only would I watch interest rates, I would pay attention. I would know mentally when the meetings are going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, everybody be ready. We could go up a percent, down a percent. They might, you know, reset something. And now I don't even pay attention.
It used to be a big deal.
I know.
Greenspan, when Greenspan was in office, I don't even know who's in office now, but for some reason, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's us. Maybe people don't care. Here's what I think. Interest rates before the stock market got computerized like it is now,
mm-hmm.
where you can buy in percentages, and used to be you could only buy on, it would go up an eighth or down an eighth. That was a minimum trading value.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all, you can do it by one-tenth of one billionth of mm-hmm. 1%. I think that mattered. I think interest rates really did matter. You could kind of bank on what would happen to the market after it got announced. Now I just don't think it matters.
Isn't that funny?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Quite honestly.
I just don't pay attention. So I just thought it was good for this topic because that watching the interest rates may not be an indicator to what's coming.
Yeah. So I mean, the watch entitlements. The county publishes those, or if you go to it's public record. So you can watch entitlements and watch the days on market for houses. Like right now, the listed days on market for a regular residential real estate in Los Angeles County is it's less than 30 days,
mm-hmm.
which is staggering.
Right.
You know, during the downturn, the days on market for a house is like 8 months.
Right.
8 months to a year. So you can watch that number go up and down too. And really pretty, I'm not saying obsess on this.
Right.
So there's indicators like that. And if you Google it, you'll find some other ones. Not just real estate indicators, other stuff. Like durable goods manufacturing and
right.
I don't want to get in. This isn't an economics lesson.
Okay, so talk to me more about the survival part because here's where I'm coming at this. I don't worry. I really worry.
I'm doing my job.
Because
then.
You are. I know that we have sufficiently diversified our portfolio, if you will. I know that everything is paid for.
So that's the real deal. That's how we survived the last one. A lot of people in the land business did not survive because they leveraged themselves and borrowed money. We never, ever buy a piece of real estate by lending in a traditional sense. Mm-hmm. We only buy it one of two ways, with cash or with a partner.
Right.
For really large deals, we use an equity partner.
Right.
So if the thing gets turned, you know, and that guy, the main investor that we use, he's not... He's fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen there is we wait it out. We buy a piece of property, and if the value is substantially goes below what we can sell it for, we just wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
But vast majority, by leaps and bounds, and those are only really large deals. The vast majority is just pay cash.
Exactly.
So I don't care where you are in your investment career from a real estate standpoint. If you can afford a $5,000 piece of property, then buy $5,000, like this person in the Alan here in the question earlier.
Right.
If you have $2,100 to your name and you're buying a piece of real estate and you're going to double your money, then just keep it at that. Don't go crazy and borrow money.
Right.
It's truthfully, I don't want to sound like your father, but that's really truthful.
Okay,
that's one way.
I want to explain my terminology. Really, let's just say you're buying a bunch of property for $2,100. Okay, we all know they're worth five or ten. Let's just say
40.
So something like that. I'm going to be conservative, five or ten. So what do you do to survive this thing? You're sitting with a bunch of these properties. Maybe you're not selling for ten. Maybe you're selling for seven.
That's right.
Maybe you need cash, and you sell them for five. Oh no, maybe you sell them for four.
Maybe you sell it for $1,000.
Maybe I wouldn't do that because I don't want to go backwards. But I'm just saying I bought it so right. I paid cash. If I need to liquidate a little bit, then even if I go down to what I paid or just cover
or
myself,
below.
You know, I'm okay. So that's
right.
That's how I survive, if you will. And I never sweat it because banks aren't looking for me. There's no interest due. I don't have to worry about any of that. No one's going to come take it away from me.
Right.
So I'm okay.
Yeah. So that's part of it. The only don't leverage yourself.
One thing I hadn't thought about, which is I'm sure a lot of people think this way too. There's still something to be said for when there's a little bit of a downturn. If you have some cash, buy some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was how I was going to wrap the show up.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. In a downturn, believe me, the real estate bargains. Joe and I were buying houses during the downturn on the west part of
Phoenix
for $20,000. Those houses are worth $200,000 now. buying them. So you just shift a little bit. You mm-hmm. buy them for 20, and then we were selling them at that time for 40 to 60. So who won? The people who bought them from us.
Exactly.
And that's how it should be. That's it's the same thing. So you're going to be fine if you just stick to what you're good at, which is buying cheap property and reselling it for more. The other thing is that you should never live above your means. You should wake up and assume tomorrow that whatever money or income that you have coming in, this is true, I don't care who you are, if you're not a real estate investor at all, that you can live on half. If your income goes down, if you lose your job and you have to go get another one for half of what you make, you should be able to cover your bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a... I say that to the... I've said that... The kids are probably ready to vomit. I've said that to them so much.
No, but, you know, they need to hear this. It's such good advice.
Never live above your means. So then it takes all the stress out of it.
Yep.
You know? Then you can go have fun. Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And inspiration. That's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy a property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Yeah, I noticed you're not wearing those jeans today. You're wearing different jeans.
That's not funny.
No, it's people get
careful,
people
careful,
get confused
careful,
about what clothes they should put
careful,
on.
Careful, careful.
After certain activities, they get their clothes mixed
clothes
up.
All mixed up. Yeah. Yes, I find myself putting on your briefs now and then. No.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.